South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
We'll call House Appropriations Committee to order. Secretary, if you call the roll, determine if we have a quorum.
Denner. Wismer.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Dietrich.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Wink. Putnam.
Here.
Tiedemann.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I have some minutes to assign. 219, that would be yesterday. If Representative Berg, if you would review those. And 220, that'll be today's. Representative Wink, if you would take those, please. Thank you. Well, sometimes you can't believe everything you hear, Representative Dennard. The last day the House Appropriations Committee meets is the day that you need to move that they be adopted. So that's the deadline. Thank you very much. Representative Wismer, do you have anything?
I move adoption of the minutes January 30th.
There's second to that. Representative Putnam, second that. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Those minutes are approved.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Carson.
I recommend we approve the minutes from the 13th day of February.
There's second to that motion. Seconded by Representative Dennard. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Those minutes are approved. Okay. I was just looking towards you.
I think she's the best part of the
Okay, we're going to go down below the line and pick up House Bill 1142, Appropriate Money for an Adult Farm Ranch Management Program. We've heard testimony on this bill. Representative Carson.
Can I have just a moment? We're having the page make copies of my...
We'll stand at ease while that is being done. Thank you. We'll just stand at ease. Pardon? Yes, we are on the internet. Did you want to make any comments, and we can then, you know, you can.
I'm having an amendment drawn up to the bill, reducing the bill from $110,000 down to $1, hoping to pass it out onto the floor as we speak. The president of Nishavotech is working with some of the producers to see. We've already gotten quite a few of them online to see if we cannot reduce the cost of this program so that we can continue it on throughout the state and then expand it throughout the state. I think I believe very strongly in this program. I think that it's a program. Please. I believe it's a program that is needed as we continue seeing some decline in livestock pricing and commodity pricing. I think that this adult farm ranch management program is something that will be needed as we hope to keep what was known as a family farm operating and getting young people into the farming business. Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment that has been distributed.
Do you move it at this time?
I would like to move it at this time, please.
Second by Representative Berg. Now, I know that we asked you to speak on some of this prior to do the amendment, but I'll let you go ahead and speak to the amendment.
Basically, I'd like to amend this down to $1. Like I said, the president of Nishavotech is out as we speak right now, raising some more dollars, reducing this cost. I think it's a very worthy program, and I'd like to see it go to the floor and have a good debate on it.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Representative Berg.
I do, too, think this is a very worthy program. As I had stated before, quite a few years ago, we had completed this and been, and I think we were actually the first class that went through it and they actually started out in the high schools, and then they brought it into the tech school after that. It's really disheartening to me to keep seeing that every time an ag issue comes up, that general fund dollars and those things aren't available for that. We actually got to go out and find our own money for it. But when other things come up, there's always general fund dollars. So I'm going to support this all the way, and hopefully we find the money we need.
Okay, other comments on the amendment as presented? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
Amendment carries. Do you want your vote recorded? Representative Peters voted no. Representative Putnam?
If there's further, maybe there's more discussion.
Okay, Representative Peters?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not that I don't agree that this program is worthy or anything, but I am going to be opposing this bill, even with the dollar in it. The reason I'm opposing this is there is a process in place with the technical institutes. The technical institutes are not governed by the state. The technical institutes are governed by our K-12 system. Our K-12 system have local advisory boards working on their funding. The local advisory boards, along with the K-12 system, in addition to the Board of Education, decide in rule which programs get funded. I handed out the budget sheet that the technical institutes use. As you can see, there are set-asides. We fund them. Their recommended 2010 budget is $19.7 million. Out of that budget, they have rules which they go through their governing board to set up. All four technical institutes have agreed that these are the rules in which they go. This program was one of these set-asides, and as you can see, their set-asides include bonding, maintenance and repair, other tech prep 50-50, and notice other adult farm management is zero. This is set in rule, and they themselves pulled it out. This is an attempt to circumvent the governance of the four technical institutes, and if they all four truly agreed with the program, they'd put it back in. So with that, I am an absolute no, because it violates the process that the technical institutes have.
Representative Putnam.
In some debate of that, it is not unlike the Board of Regents going through the budgetary process and finding out that who they go through fails to recognize them, and then they do what we call an end run. And I think that's what you're kind of referring to here, that the rules process, this is more or less a little bit of an end run. But having said that, the individuals that are asking for this to be put back are telling those folks that we have authority also to do certain things, and then we will again make sure that it gets put in. Now, whether or not all of them agree after we do this, that's up to them, because we have the authority also to do things.
Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think in this situation we have sort of an anomaly in that we have a new president at Mitchell Tech, and I think he is a strong advocate. He came and testified. He would really like to try and save this program and get it back in line with the rest of the curriculum, and I think that we need to try and help him do that.
Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, while I do understand that the president is new at Mitchell Tech, their advisory board did not turn over. Their school board has not had substantial turnover. And if the four technical institutes and the K-12 system wanted this in their budget, they would have had it in their budget. It does not take much to change the rule. And I would respectfully disagree with the vice chair on this, because the Board of Regents ultimately have a full-scale budget hearing. They go through the governor. The tech schools do not. They are not governed by the state. Yeah, they get less than about 47% of their funding from the state, but we don't decide which programs it goes to. We don't decide which school it goes to. That's all done in rule and done in rule by the Board of Education and the K-12 system. This is violating that procedure that they've already set up and that they're fighting to keep.
Representative Putnam.
Thank you. Well, if that is indeed true, and I have no reason to think it isn't, I would think that those people would be here opposing it rather than our own committee members and our own legislators. I'm assuming that they will oblige us by following what we instruct them to do. And if there is a problem with them, I'm sure they'd be at the head of this table talking to us about it.
Any other discussion on House Bill 1142 as amended? Not, the chair will ask for a motion of Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move due pass on House Bill, excuse me, 1142.
1142. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Representative Byrd, that House Bill 1142 do pass as amended. Any comments? Hearing none, Secretary call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay.
Byrd?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer? Carson?
Aye.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Peters?
No.
Wink?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
8 yeas, 1 nay.
Motion carried. House Bill 1142 do pass as amended. House Bill 1091, to make an appropriation to initiate a Master of Social Work degree program in higher education. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've handed out a copy of an amendment for that bill, and the amendment is, I would move Amendment 1091BA.
Do we have a second to that motion? Seconded by Representative Dennert. Any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to. It is relatively simple, as you see. We are just reducing that to the $2 amount, and that, once again, hoping that it can continue on its way through the process, because there are the Regent system and others are working towards finding a solution to this without going into the general fund. I'd stand by for any questions.
Any questions or other comments on that amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Amendment carries. House Bill 1091, as amended. Representative Putnam.
I would move due pass on House Bill 1091, as amended.
Do we have a second to that motion? Second by Representative Dennert. Discussion? Representative Dennert.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would hope that we could move this bill along and keep it in the process. I think in testimony, as I remembered, it takes like 18 months, even if they start, to get implementation of the program. And if we do not get it rolling this session, it just delays it that much longer. I mean, every year we wait is a year later in getting it started. And I think this discussion has been had, and I think it's time we move forward with this. I don't know if them dates are correct, but I remember testimony it was sometime. So thank you.
I believe you are correct in those dates. About 18 months is what it takes. Any other comments? Representative Peters?
Thank you. Well, I am going to vote no on this particular proposal as well. Not that I don't disagree that it's an important program and that it should be started. However, if it was so important, maybe we should have looked at it 5 years ago. I do know that there's private institutions in this state that have been looking at starting the program and have kind of stepped back to wait and see. And with that, I guess I'd urge a no vote, and we don't need the state to be getting into something if the private industry can do it.
Representative Wink.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. I'm going to oppose this, too, and kind of on the same grounds that this is a new program. I wish it's a demonstrated need, as we've received the testimony on it, and I think that I agree that maybe it should have been brought up 5 or 6 years ago. The timing is bad right now. We're in an economic downturn, and I don't think this is the year to start a new program. Thank you.
Representative Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had some discussions with the supporters of this bill to try to nail down whether or not there were some other options. And I've heard quite a litany, really, of other avenues that have been explored. And it seems like, I mean, that's part of the reason why this has taken so long, is because they have tried everything else, because they kept getting negative responses from the Board of Regents. And they have tried University of Sioux Falls, and they've tried partnerships with Colorado Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. The tuition, these jobs that you're preparing those people for aren't ones where the tuition requirements at a private school are something that they can plan to make a program that'll work from. So I really feel like I've explored that possibility to satisfy myself that there isn't some other option. And I really don't see, I mean, I think that's the reason why it's finally coming here, is because they've finally given up. And I pretty much ask point blank, is there someone else out there waiting for this committee to decide whether or not they're going to do this? And the answer is a definite no.
Thank you. Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd only say the old phrase that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, the second best time is today.
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. You actually stole the words right out of my mouth, but you said them very eloquently. Any other discussion on the motion? In the current motion?
Yeah.
Do pass as amended. Thank you. Seeing no other discussion on the motion, do pass as amended. Secretary, call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay.
Berg?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Dietrich?
Aye.
Peters?
No.
Wink? Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
7 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1091, do pass as amended, goes to the floor. We'll now take up House Bill 1174, appropriate money from the Budget Reserve Fund to increase the state-funded portion to state aid to education, decrease current tax levies, and increase provider inflation. Proponents for House Bill 1174. Do you have a handout? You have an amendment, okay?
Pass the amendment around.
Do you move that amendment?
I would move that amendment for discussion purposes.
Moved by Representative Dennert and seconded by Representative Berg. Amendment, what's the number?
1174. You agree.
You agree.
Okay.
Okay, UA. Gotcha. Yeah,
thank you. Mr. Chairman, could I just speak to the bill and the amendment at the same time?
You sure may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen of the committee. 1174 comes to you as more or less a thought and my own personal disagreement with the governor, and also somewhat of a disagreement and dissatisfaction of last year's closing day of session and amendments to the general bill. The amendment I presented was at the request of the Judicial Committee, saying that we have to include the state court administration, or they would have came up and not, they would have had to oppose the bill. But if we, and that more or less goes in section, well, you can read it on page 3, the line, and there's, I got to get it, line 4. We just have to include the court administrators to make this work if this bill would pass, and that's what the amendment does. But with that, I'll just go to my thoughts on the merits of the bill. The governor in his second, I think maybe even in his first budget address, talked about leaving the mill levy for all properties the same as last year. And ever since the school funding formula that we're under went into effect, the mill levies have been decreasing for all properties for school general fund, and that was something that the current governor and the governor preceding him prided themselves on. As the assessed value of all property would go up, that in turn could lower the mill levy to all of the taxpayers in the state. They prided themselves in this, and although we all understand that mill levies determine the final tax burden, but if your assessment goes up, you could pay more tax in a year than the year before, even though your mill levy went down, and I know several of you, and I experienced that in given years. But with that aside, In the governor's address, he said that he was going to freeze the mill levies and in turn shift $6 million plus dollars to local effort for school general fund and tax purposes.
I think a lot of us disagree with that philosophy, and I've heard the comment. So my thought was, is I cannot go home and tell my taxpayers, we're going to raise your taxes 6 point, or relatively keep them higher, to the tune of $6.3 million, and I set on a trust fund or budget reserve of dollar amounts. So that was the devise and the reason for the bill to start with. In Section 3, my bill was originally drafted that the governor's first budget address had indicated that community-based services and or ATCs mainly would only get a 1.5% increase. When he gave his second budget address, he said they were going to get a 0 increase, and I just really felt that that would not work at this time. And so the amendment also inserts, deletes the 3%, because he was going for at 1.5%, and I wanted to increase that to 3, and then when he cut total funding, I have to amend it because my dollar amount only will allow for a 1.5% increase for the that particular adjustment training centers to have the 1.5% increase. Ladies and gentlemen, our community-based services across the state are looking at a CPI increase of 4% with a 0 inflationary increase for 2010. Their budgets are going to be so highly strapped, and I just feel that this is really in response to last year at the closing of session when I had thought of an amendment to put the ATCs, which we all agreed with, on a pilot program for a midpoint adjustment in the salaries for their employees. That was never heard, and I just thought for that reason I had to bring this forward this year, just to the kindness in my heart to probably help them out a little bit. And this time I would like to see this bill move forward. If nothing else, as we move down the stretch, the final days, we might have to have a bill with a title like this and look at our budget reserve to fund some ongoing needs. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand by for questions and see what happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. Any questions? Any comments on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment passes. So House Bill 1174, as amended, is now before us. Any other proponents for House Bill 1174? Any other proponents? And please be reminded to sign in and state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom Scheinest, Executive Director of the Association of Community-Based Services. That's the association of all 19 community not-for-profit adjustment training centers, which are soon to be known as community support providers if the legislation proceeds to go through. Our adjustment training centers are currently serving almost 4,000 individuals with disabilities across the state of South Dakota. I'm going to be very, very brief. Members of the committee have already heard the message of the financial crisis being met by and faced by the adjustment training centers in this state when we testified at the Department of Human Services DDD budget hearing. Our association members and the directors truly understand the difficult situation that this committee is facing with the state's budget issues. Because of these serious financial problems being faced by both the state and the adjustment training centers, I would be remiss in my duties as the executive director of the Association of Community-Based Services if I didn't come here today, number one, to thank the representatives and the senators who signed on to House Bill 1174, and to encourage this committee to seriously take a look at the proposal to increase the provider inflation to 1.5%. The 0% will strap the adjustment training centers something horribly. And the adjustment training centers at this point are a significant part of that provider group. So, again, thank you very much for the time, and I'll stand by for questions.
Any questions, Mr. Shines? If not, thank you very much. Other proponents for House Bill 1174? Other proponents for House Bill 1174? Any other proponents for House Bill 1174? Opponents for House Bill 1174?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management. I think it's a difficult balance that we all have to keep in mind as we decide in a tough year like this which sacred cows that we need to look after. And I won't profess to be an expert on which of those ones we should and which we shouldn't. I just want to ask you to proceed with caution as you look at a bill such as this one that starts to give back some of the changes that were proposed to save money in the state's budget. I certainly have come to recognize that I should never argue with the kindness in Representative Dennard's heart because that usually gets me into trouble. But I think that kindness really begs the question that a lot of the programs that you fund are good programs and do a lot of really good things for our citizens. But if we pass this particular piece of legislation, we're doing what we've told ourselves that we wouldn't do, at least many of us, and that is to start funding new ongoing issues with one-time money. We recognize that the change in the mill levy is a polarizing issue, and I can't tell you today whether or not that'll see the light of day. That was obviously a proposal we had to make. Again, I think the jury's still out as to what will happen with that. But once we start funding that, that's an ongoing commitment of state resources that'll need to be maintained going forward. I certainly do not diminish the importance of providers in our state. They're an integral part of the state doing business. But again, that's an ongoing expense that we'll start funding with monies from the budget reserve. And so I think we need to be careful when we start doing that, because you'll be asked then to come up with new money to cover that next year or to drain your budget reserve fund even further next year. One of the things that also concerns me is in reading South Dakota Law 4-7-32, and that's some of the statutes that govern the budget reserve fund. One of the things that it states is that expenditures out of the budget reserve fund shall only be by special appropriation of legislature and shall only redress such unforeseen expenditure obligations or such unforeseen revenue shortfalls as may constitute an emergency. I don't necessarily know whether or not these two expenditures would constitute an emergency and thus the ability to dip into the state's budget reserve fund to cover them. So again, I think that the two main issues are whether or not this constitutes an emergency, but bigger, I think, is that you're starting to fund one-time or use one-time revenues to fund ongoing expenditures. And I see others in the room today that will certainly say if we're going to start funding providers at a different rate, then things like higher education, state employees, and others need to be considered as well. And I guess my challenge to you is when do you draw the line? So with that, I just ask your caution as you move pieces of legislation like this forward.
Any questions, Commissioner Dilges? Other opponents to House Bill 1174. Other opponents to House Bill 1174. Other opponents to House Bill 1174. Seeing none, Representative Dennard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank Jason for his kindness too. I mean, his words are much appreciated, and I understand when I drafted this bill, and I maybe should have just looked at the mill levy change or the freezing of the mill levy and not included the provider, but the provider, I had to just in my own heart include that, and this was the place that I wanted to put it. The only concern I would have is we talked about the unforeseen cost to the state. I would beg to differ with Commissioner Dilges on the economic slide, I think, was unforeseen. Although indicators told us it was coming, I don't think that in South Dakota we quite expected the magnitude that it was here today. And although I realize that it's tough to take money out of the budget reserve, but actually if we took this money out and decreased the budget reserve from $43 million down to 33, actually, if there was any extra revenue, it would just stay in the property tax reduction fund account. It would just decrease this account and would fall into that bottom line. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to seek some approval, maybe to keep the bill alive, just if it's needed to fund some programs in the end that we might have to look at the budget reserve for the 2010 budget. But thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. Any other testimony at this time? Otherwise, we'll close testimony and open it up to discussion and or action. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as Representative Denner and I probably don't disagree too often, and I don't know that we really disagree here either that much. There's other places I'd rather see this money come before it comes from here. Because we got a futures funds, we got a ready fund, we've got all kinds of trust funds. Because if we take this money out from here right now, we got to replace it by the 1st of June anyway, or 1st of July. Because it'd have to go into 210 budget to replace that. But I do think we have to look at where our priorities are really at. Because when we sit here and don't give raises to these providers, you know, they're going to have to run, and they don't have the option of coming back to the legislature or having a reserve fund to come to as we do to help other state agencies. They have one shot in a year, and that's when they come before this table. And basically, their only shot last year was for 2 years because they had to ask for what they were going to have for 2 years now because they are not getting any inflation. So I'm not going to vote for this, but I think we've got to look at how we are handling, because we've got lots of resources to us if we want to use them.
Thank you. Representative Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I also echo a lot of what has already been said. Rather than to just say whether I agree or disagree, I'll just say this, that the new members on this committee might not know, but over the many years that those of us who have been on this committee have consistently worked towards making the provider increase something that can at least be helpful all across the board. And this is why I know that Representative Dennard brought this, because he too has felt the same way that all of us have with regard to that. When the new budget address came out and there was zero, but there was also other cuts being made, I think that was the relative balance that made some difference with regard to how we all looked at whether or not there should be help by any or many, one or the other. Now I see a lot of that drifting backwards again, and once again brings in the question, if it all goes back, are we equal, or should just some of it go back? And that's the line I think that the Commissioner was talking about. Where do we draw that line? The only opinion I would have on the bill is that I'm not agreement where the money comes from, and that's exactly, I think, where a lot of us are coming from. The concept of trying to put in place something for our providers and others is an absolute correct concept, I believe. And I would agree, if there are some other ways to do this, that we have to continue to try. And we will find those ways in the next few weeks that we have here. I would agree with Representative Dennard in that I don't know about keeping it going forward, but I like that title. And I think no matter what happens to it, we will have that availability. But that's what I would have to say about it. I can't support the bill as it is because of the coming from the reserve funds. Thank you.
Representative Peter?
Move to table.
Is there a second to that motion? Second by Representative Wink. No discussion. Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Berg?
Aye.
Dennert?
No.
Wismer? Carson?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Wink? Putnam?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
7 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1174 is tabled.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee, for your indulgence.
No, thank you, Representative Dennert, and again, Representative Putnam said a lot of the things that I would have liked to have said, but I also have a number of other entities that we have to look at. If you open the gate, everything runs out. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The remaining bill that's on our calendar, I don't know what you have in mind, but if there's an opportunity for recess, I have been doing some sidebar things over here, and we need to make some moves on this bill to get it into the shape that would be acceptable in front of this committee. So I would leave it up to you as to how to come out about that. And
well, it's been a long week for the chair, and so we're going to recess till 10:30, and that will give the group some chance to kind of form this bill. So back at 10:30. We'll call House Appropriations Committee back to order. Again, I want to thank you for your due diligence in giving us this time to work these little kinks out of this particular bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative
Maybe before we proceed, if you don't mind, I did due diligence on the minutes from 218, House Appropriations, and I would move their approval, but I was just wondering on one of my votes I cast, I'm sure it'd be too late to change it, so I'll have to move approval as they are read.
And seconded by Representative Putnam. Any discussion on that? For approval of February 18th minutes. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Yes, Representative Wing.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would vote that you approve the minutes for January 16th and February 5th.
Okay, both in the same motion?
If it's possible.
Representative Berg.
Are your February 5th, are those joint or are those...
Those
That's
are
what
joint.
I thought. Yeah, you can't do joint committee here. You can only do House Appropriations. Because I was looking for the 20th, and we're not done with that one yet. So you can only do the one for the February 5th.
Well, you asked me about February 5th here last week. I think I wrote it down.
Yes, February 5th is fine for here. The other one is a joint.
Oh, January 6th. Okay, you can't do them at
can't
the time.
Can't do, no, you have
okay,
to do
Okay, I'll wait.
House.
How about February 5th?
February 5th. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by three, but we'll just pick Representative Dietrich at this point. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. February 5th is approved. Okay. Now we'll go back to House Bill 1166, provide for DNA testing for certain inmates for the purpose of determining whether they may have been wrongfully convicted. Proponents for House Bill 1166.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. As you can see, my name is on there as the prime sponsor, but that's just because I'm here. I'm not the prime sponsor. The prime sponsor is Professor Chris Hutton. And I tell you that Professor Chris Hutton has been at the law school teaching criminal law, criminal procedure for a number of years. I won't tell you how many years. I'm not too sure how many years, but I can tell you that I was her teaching assistant at one time and had a great time doing that. Professor Hutton has also written many, many articles for different law reviews, and they've been published throughout the nation. And I bring that to you because one in particular was quoted by the United States Supreme Court favorably in one of their opinions. So with that, I can say that when Professor Chris Hutton speaks, the United States Supreme Court listens. And I would ask that this particular committee give her the same consideration when she testifies today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. And we welcome you. Is it Dr. Hutton or?
Professor is fine.
Professor is fine. Okay.
That was such a kind introduction, and I can't tell you how gratifying it is to see former students serving in the legislature. I think when I testified at Judiciary last week, 5 of the 12 people were my former students. So it's great that people like Tom Dietrich have had this kind of impact. House Bill 1166 is not at all about me. House Bill 1166 is about the innocent man. Some of you may have read this book. It's a book by John Grisham. He writes fiction, but this is not a fiction book. This is a true story, and it involves the conviction for murder and rape of two men who did not do the crime. They were innocent. And one of the people in this book is Dennis Fritz. It's his story. And he came last week to the House Judiciary Committee, and he spoke to the House Judiciary Committee about what had happened to him. At the time he was convicted, just after he was convicted, he asked that DNA testing be conducted in his case, and he was denied and denied and denied. He spent 12 years in prison for the crime he did not commit. Had the DNA testing been done when he asked for it, he would have been out 10 years earlier. His co-defendant, who was given the death penalty, ended up in the same situation, convicted for a crime he did not do, and he likewise would have been let out 10 years earlier than he was. I had some handouts that I was going to give you, and I will actually pass these out, but I know it's a little bit of a distance for you to see. You can see that here's the map of the United States, and thanks. On the map of the United States, you can see that we have 44 states.
If you would go and three-hole punch them, you can go right across and just get them. Thank you. Go ahead.
We have 44 states in the United States which have enacted a DNA bill. And the federal government also has one. And what we asked at the House Judiciary Committee last week is that South Dakota join the 44 states that have such a bill. And what we presented then was a fairly conservative bill. And in the meantime, we had spoken with the Attorney General at length about the bill. He was gracious enough to meet with my students and me about this. Scott Swear and I were constantly emailing for several months about this bill. And so it was well received in Judiciary. They voted unanimously to approve the bill. Since that time, the Attorney General's office and I, Scott and I, have been in close contact about what actually should happen. And now that you have a bill in front of you, I think Scott is going to make an amendment, offer an amendment, and it is one that we certainly agree with. We don't have any problem with the language in it. So thank you for your time and attention, and I appreciate your interest in this. I'm more than happy to answer questions, but I also don't want to keep you here if you're ready to be somewhere else.
Thank you, Professor Hutton. And Mr. Swear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, Professor Hutton and I and the Attorney General would like to thank this committee this morning for the time that you took. It's wonderful the legislative process should work as it did with Professor Hutton and I this morning in coming to what we feel is a compromise. The Attorney General, of course, readily supports the primary objective of the Innocence Project, and that's to ensure that no person is wrongfully convicted here in South Dakota. I also want to reiterate what Representative Dietrich said, in that I have the utmost respect and admiration for Professor Hutton. She is simply one of the most effective professors that we have in our Regent system. However, I don't know if fun is the right word with this bill, but it's been interesting because when I was a law student, I kind of feel bad. I think I got the highest grade in my class in Professor Hutton's class. I think I was the highest grade in the class. So she gave me a wonderful review and a wonderful grade in that class. Well, now it's kind of fun because the tables have been turned. And I've gotten to give Professor Hutton somewhat of a grade on her piece of legislation. So that has been kind of fun. And, of course, it's been a pleasure to work on this with her. Mr. Chair, if I may, what we would ask this committee to do is that, of course, this bill started in the House Judiciary. We have now, we believe, reached an agreement on the language of the bill. We would respectfully request that one of your members make a motion to return this to House Judiciary on the Monday calendar, which is acceptable with Representative Cutler, and that we proceed now with this bill back in House Judiciary and move it through the legislative process.
And Mr. Swear, I think that the Appropriations Committee looks at spending money, not policy. And as we reviewed this bill, we had the same questions came to us. Why are we seeing this if it's a policy? But we were only concerned that, one, where the money comes from. Representative Putnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for helping us also solve the problem without it becoming such a situation that we would lose sight of what we are really intending to do. So with that, Mr. Chairman, if you need a motion, I would so make that motion now to refer this House bill to the Judiciary Committee.
Second to that motion?
I will second that.
Second by Representative Dietrich. Any discussion on that motion? Representative Putnam?
And similarly, just to almost the same lines, we hope that you'll understand, too, there wasn't any disagreement, but it was the process, and we uphold that here as strong as we possibly can, and I know that a good outcome will be in sight. Thank you.
Sir, may I say one thing? I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Across the United States, 232 people have been exonerated with these Innocence Project cases, and in the cases where there have been tests for DNA, in those cases where a person was wrongfully convicted, in 40% of those cases, they actually detected the real perpetrator by doing the DNA test. So as we look at it, it's a win-win situation, not in every case, but in many. And so I definitely appreciate your interest in this whole issue, and I thank you for your support.
And, of course, on the Attorney General's behalf, we are very proud that we have never had one of these cases here in South Dakota, luckily, and hopefully we never will. And I think that is a testament both to prosecutors, to the courts, and to the juries in South Dakota that they've done a phenomenal job. So hopefully that trend will continue. We're confident that it will. But we're lucky to live in a state where our judicial system works the way it should. Thank you.
And thank you. Any other discussion on the motion of referral to House Judiciary? Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Berg.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Dietrich.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Motion carries. House Bill 1166 will be referred to House Judiciary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you very much.
And as House Chair, I would like to thank the members because we accomplished our goal. We handled all of the House bills before crossover day, and we are now ready to move forward. Representative Berg.
Just a point now. Arena, you know, wasn't this supposed to be out of the House? Out of the House? Is the judiciary going to have to suspend the rules or? Because they're taking it up on a later day that we're not going to make that crossover?
They'll make it. I believe we checked out with our LRC staff to make sure that this was appropriate. That was all part of everything coming together. And the chair has of House Judiciary will get it calendared, and so it will be covered.
And I think we ran into another situation today where it wasn't going to work, so thank you.
Okay, well, that I'm not aware of that. I'm only knowing about what we worked out for this particular situation, and we're covered. But good point to bring up. Thank you. But again, thank you very much for helping move the agenda items through and yet giving good diligence to discussion. Any other things to come before the committee? If not, motion to adjourn by Representative Carson, second by Representative Dennert. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We're adjourned.